Welcome to the Bifocal Podcast with John White and Jason Himmelstein, where we talk about business intelligence and the Microsoft stack with news, interviews, and expert opinions from around the space.
This is episode 205, recorded on September 17th, 2021, where John and Jason talk to Patrick LeBlanc, one of those Guy in a Cube guys, and the Chief Technical Evangelist for Power BI at Microsoft, about his new role at Microsoft, the Power BI community, and what has him excited in the analytics space.
Good day, Jason. How are you now?
John, I'm pretty spectacular, man. I'm having a good morning.
I can tell. You're all sweaty.
I am. That's the beauty of being an audio podcast and not any video is I don't have to like get all showered and primped and pressed to be able to do this.
Well, it's just me on the other, well, almost just me on the other end of it anyway. And I don't have to smell you, so it's all good.
Thank God they stopped doing smell-o-vision. But, you know, the sweat, I come by it honestly because I worked my ass off this morning at the gym and then went for a walk. But, you know, it's only 72 degrees out here. It's going to spike up to 90 by the time I have to be out with the kid at baseball practice this evening. But it's a beautiful morning here, man. It's really nice. After a fast yesterday for Yom Kippur,
you know. Right.
It's a beautiful new year here.
I think it's going to be about the same here today. It's in that weird stage where it gets cold at night and can get really hot in the day, but we're heading into the crappy part now, which is, you know, most of the year here.
I can't wait for that crappy part where you are, because that means it's hot tub time here in Texas.
So. Yes, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm really doubly excited today because one of my all-time favorite guests on this show, we get to do cool stuff with him, like when we get to go in person every once in a while.
Yes.
And when we do, when there are live events, you know, whether they're in person or online, we always get together with this gentleman and his speaking compatriot as well to do live streams and fun stuff like that. So, you know, I'd like to officially welcome to the show solo for the
first time we've ever had you alone
on the show, Patrick. Yep. Patrick LeBlanc, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. Thank you guys for having me.
Right. Well, I don't know why, but yeah.
lower your expectations, my friend. Although you are an LSU fan, so you already know how that works. Just like as a Jaguars fan and a Longhorns fan, I know how it is this season as well. So hopefully it's tamped down. So.
Well, I'm excited. I like to talk about me, and I think you guys are going to let me talk about me a little bit. So.
Yes, let's definitely do that. You know, I think that's a very worthwhile endeavor.
Some of that's awesome.
You, Patrick, you know, what's going on, man? I heard you have a new role.
Adam has been giving me a hard time about this new role. So when I took the job, this is a PM, right? It's just a program manager. And that's just a title. But in parentheses on the official job posting, it said technical evangelist. And I was like, what is this technical evangelist? So I saw work.
little halo appears over his head.
So in my first meeting with Amir in a room goes, somebody asked him, oh, we have a presentation to do. And he was like, oh, no, I have my chief technical evangelist for this. And I was like, chief technical evangelist. So does that make me a C-level CTE? He goes, no. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. I kid. He didn't say that. He didn't say that.
But you can see him doing it.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that.
And very, very, very calmly, just like, and no.
He's so cool and he's just like so mellow. So Patrick's the chief technical evangelist. Get him to do it. And so I told Adam about this, and now Adam goes, oh yeah, you guys know Patrick's the chief technical evangelist. So, but anyway, so he gives me a hard time about it. Adam gives me a hard time about it.
Well, you were on the same team with Adam before, right? You were on the cat team, right?
The funny thing, my last month or so on the job, Adam was my boss. Adam was my manager for the last my last month or so. And then when my current boss wanted me for the job, she reached out to Adam, was like, hey, look, I don't want to just go poaching your employee. I want to talk to you about getting Patrick over on my team. So it was an interesting process. But
Adam is your boss is like putting the fox in with the chickens, isn't it?
That's right. It's sort of like John being in charge of HR at his company.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But it's the new job. It's interesting. You know, it's interesting. I've been kind of, it's different because I've been technical for my 20 years. You know, I've been doing DBA, then I started doing BI and back to DBA, back to BI. And so I've been doing this for 20 years. Going to this role is a little different. I'll be honest with you guys. It's a challenge. It's been some struggles. It's been some growing pains. It's a new muscle that I have to learn. Mm-hmm. And so I actually had a call with my boss. This is so timely because I had a call with my boss. You guys know we had a reorg inside of our team, everybody and on the Power BI team. It's not just Power BI now. It's the whole analytics you know, platform. And so when I initially took the job, it was just Power BI focus. That's all I was going to do. But now it's Power BI and everything Synapse. So I have to. So my job is like four
pieces. All the Azure data platform too, right? Yes. And it's not just,
It's all the data integration stuff. Everything. So we have a great Power BI community. You guys know, right? We have a huge Power BI community and it's growing and it's thriving and stuff like that. And so I'm like, oh, this is going to be easy. I got to talk about Power BI. That's all I have to do is talk about Power BI. And then it changed. Then the world changed. And they're like, okay, Patrick, so I was responsible for the analyst relationships, which I grossly misunderstood. So you guys heard of this little company called Gartner and this little company called Forrester. Mm-hmm. Well, they send these big things out, you know, every year or so, and you got to fill out these things. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just thinking I got to do the bake-off. No. You got to fill out the RFPs. You got to answer their questions, the spreadsheets. You got to put all these slides and build all these demos. And then when the reorg happened, it's like, you don't have to do that anymore, Patrick. We're going to let the product group handle that. And we want you to do four things. You have to support a mirror in a room. And I go, well, what does that mean?
It's kind of open-ended, isn't it?
So obviously a mirror in a room get requests for presentations all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, Amir, hey, Arun, come do this. And they can't do a lot of them. So you're going to fill in and do some of those for them. Also, when they need somebody, when they need demos, you need to build those demos and work with all the PMs to make sure we have the best demos for Amir in a room. We have these things at Microsoft called executive briefings. I'm sure you guys are familiar with those. You got to support them in those. We got to keep our demos, our slides, and everything up to date for those EBCs. At first, it was just Power BI, which is easy, but now it's Synapse. Now it's data integration. So I got to get all those decks straight and going, but proactively maintain them. You know, all the roadmap stuff in them, all of our vision, all of our strategy. That's one part of the job. The second part.
Hang on. That's one part? That felt like a three part.
I feel like I got to get a glass of water. Okay.
The second part is to contribute to the Power BI community. So you guys know we have a huge Power BI community and the Kelly K, you guys know Kelly K, there's Will Thompson, they handle the community. So I don't have to like do anything in form of growing it. I just need to contribute to the community, contribute to everything they're doing. So I need to do that. And so I asked my boss, I was like, but I do that with Guy in the Cube. She goes, Guy in the Cube's not part of Microsoft. I was like, you're right, it's not. So you got to contribute to Microsoft Power BI channel and all the Microsoft stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then I have to help build a Synapse or a data platform or an analytics community, which we don't have. There's no strong community around Synapse. And so I need to work on that. And then we have another initiative around education. We're trying to find better ways to get, starting with Power BI, in the classroom. So like in higher ed, think if you go to, you know, you're in college, how do we get professors teaching Power BI? Because Tableau is everywhere, right? Tableau is in every university you go to. So how do we get Power BI? So that's the, for this fiscal year, that's the four things that I'm focused on.
Wow. You mentioned Synapse a couple of times. I know I'm working a lot with ADX, Azure Data Explorer, Kusto. Is that part of the new reorg or is it not? I'm not clear on that.
Yeah, that is. And I can't, there's something that's coming that's going to be announced at Ignite. You got to stay on your toes for it. I'm actually working on some pretty cool stuff with the ADX team. And we're going to have a big announcement then.
So we need to talk. It's a massive part of our company's DNA.
Okay. Right now. Yeah. Let me know.
This episode of the Bifocal Podcast is sponsored by Tigraph, the award-winning reporting and analytics platform for Office 365. Get the full picture of your Office 365 network by using Tigraph. See how customers leverage its actionable insights to better understand their organization's usage, collaboration, and adoption patterns. Try Tigraph today. Sign up for a free trial at tigraph.com.
Let's drop that in here right now, because we'll make sure we put this in the show notes. Patrick just said you have to be paying attention to Ignite. Folks, if you have not yet registered, Ignite is open for registration. It is November 2nd through the 4th, yes, 2021. It is virtual. Unfortunately, not going to be in person again. But, you know, hey, there's going to be some big announcements, you know, happening there. I'm excited. I've been hearing some rumblings. And Patrick, you just confirmed there's going to be some big announcements around this as well. But it should be some good content happening at this event. So go out there, ignite.microsoft.com. It'll redirect you to myignite.microsoft.com, but whatever. November 2nd to the 4th, get on it. Make sure you register.
Cool. I think that's like two of the things you were talking about that you've covered up now. Job role items.
No, I think he went through all three, but there was one that I want to come back around to.
Right?
Because actually there were four, right?
Yeah, there were four.
Yeah, that's where I was going,
But one of the things that you said was something that, you know, you and I have talked about a little bit. There was a comment you made about getting content out there on the Power BI side of things, right? Because you do stuff with the guy in the cube side of things.
Yep.
You mentioned the fact that you all are going to be trying to promote more content through the Microsoft channel around Power BI out on YouTube and other places like that. Any information that you want to share about that?
Yeah. So one of our big initiatives this year is to grow the Power BI community. Right. And you guys are like, well, it's a huge community already. Well, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. Microsoft's not satisfied. We want more. We want more community. I'm going to contribute more there. Right. Not just Guy in the Cube. I'm going to continue doing Guy in the Cube. That's not going anywhere. But I'm going to start to contribute more webinars, videos. I may even write a blog post. I may even write a blog post.
I think you do blogs even less than I do. That's going to be amazing.
I may even do a blog.
You just bring everybody over to your screen with a blog post.
I may even do a blog post or two, but we're going to try to figure out ways where other people can contribute to the community. And that's still something that we're working on. Jason, you and we've all been on calls talking about it. Once I get more details, you know, we'll share with everyone out there in the community.
Awesome. Very cool. Yep. We'll be looking forward to being able to share that info as well. But good to know that that's something that y'all are focused on. So
Yeah. Community is important. Look what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Community is important. I've been doing community since before SQL Server 2005. So I've been presenting, speaking. My very first presentation was What's New in SQL Server 2005. That was my very first presentation. I started the Baton Rouge Users Group in Louisiana, and that was my very first presentation. We had over 100 people attend that presentation. Wow. Very first one. Very first user group presentation.
Yeah. I just passed my big milestone of 10 years presenting in the community.
Wow.
It was about 4 months ago. I meant to write something up about it 3 months ago. And there was a really bittersweet moment for me that happened just this past week. Andrew Brust actually commented on it on the regional director mailing list. Officially, Microsoft has ended support for PowerView with the Silverlight components.
Yes.
Because that was one of the things that I talked about in that talk was Power Pivot and PowerView way, way back at the very beginning. Like, nobody was doing it. It was this brand new thing. But now in Excel, it is completely dead.
Yes.
You know, but back in the in olden days, at the very beginning of Power Pivot, that was what I was doing. So, yeah, it's community is a part of our DNA. It's tough these days, though. As much as we want to be doing community, the burnout is real, man. There's we were talking about it just before this. There's a lot, and with Microsoft Ignite happening on November 2nd to the 4th, like the normal would be for us to fly somewhere and to be there in person and to do like to be engaged and to engross and meet all the new people and embrace everybody and hug and drink a lot of beer and like learn together as a community and grow.
We were supposed to be flying to DC this weekend.
We were. And now we can't do that. You know, we're seeing the resurgence and everything. And happily, numbers are starting to look like they're tailing back off. But looks like 2022 is going to be the year. But you know, we were talking about it earlier. I don't know about you, Patrick. I'm so burned out on virtual events, talking to a screen alone with no response. No, you know, it's a killer.
I feed off of the energy of people, you know? And so talking to a camera, you'll notice it's like a a complete up and down. Like I'm going up hills. Like I'll get really excited, then I'll go down, you know, because I need the people. Adam will even say, oh man, Patrick he feeds off the energy of the crowd. And I'm struggling. I'll be honest with you. I am struggling. So if everyone could see where I'm standing at now, I intentionally set my office up this way because when I'm presenting, because I have to present to users groups, I have to present online a lot. And so I stand up and I pretend that my camera is the audience. I really do. I pretend I have an iPad that's like a teleprompter. And I would normally have you guys over there. So when I'm talking to you guys, I'm moving around and I'm pretending like I'm in front of an audience. Otherwise, I just lose it, man. I just lose all my momentum. I lose all my excitement.
What Patrick is currently laughing at is the fact that I have my own little audience here that you all can't see because this is an audio podcast and everything. But I have little totems that I keep on my desk that's what I talk to because, you know, hey, I got to talk to something. That my Chewy for Power Apps 911 usually sits on top of my camera. So when I'm presenting or I'm doing anything on a webcam, I'm actually talking to something. So yeah, thank goodness I have my Chewy to be able to talk to, man. I completely am with you 1,000% on that. It's brutal.
It's tough, but you have done it. I mean, with Guy in the Cube for years.
Yeah. You've got,
but they're like, I think, you know, and you cannot tell that you're not in your comfort zone, trust me. But but I think part of that probably is they're short.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep that energy up in that environment for an hour.
Yes.
Or God forbid, all day.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I hear you.
And then recording. Everybody, you know, nobody wants it live. It's like, hey, can you present at our conference? And I'm like, yeah, I can present at the conference. Can you record that for us? Like, record it. That's not a presentation. No. Record it and then join and answer questions in the Q&A. Yeah. And so you're watching yourself present on a recording.
It's excruciating.
Oh, it's so
and everybody wants it a couple of months in advance. And the problem is that Power BI changes every single month, multiple times sometimes in a month. And like the content's no longer fresh. Like I had the great honor and pleasure of presenting in Branson with Adam. Unfortunately, neither of the new suckers were able to join us, but that was so much fun getting back in front of an actual audience that was deeply engaged. Like they were so much fun to work with and to talk to. Like we did the full day workshop and at the end of it, you know, you felt tired, but so amped up. Like, let's go for another, like, can we do this again tomorrow? Man, it's been so long since we've gotten to physically do that in person. And we were so distanced and everything was great. And, you know, I'm looking forward to those days coming back around to getting to do those full day pre-cons at events and stuff. And man,
Adam and I were supposed to go out to Belgium in October. And then we just found out, I guess last week, that Belgium's got some new requirements where you have to quarantine and stuff like that. And we both were like, just can't do it. You know, just can't risk being in quarantine for several days. So we kind of missed the whole Belgium trip. It's just awful. It's just awful, man. And I'm telling you, every day that this continues to happen, a little bit of me just breaks away and floats off of my body because I need to be in front of people. I need to be. And now that my house is fully vaxxed, right? So the reason people, I have so many messages, why aren't you in Branson? Why aren't you in Branson? It's because my whole house wasn't vaxxed, right? Mm-hmm. But my whole house, everybody's fully vaxxed now. So the moment someone says, Patrick, can you come in person? Can you come in person? I am booking a flight, a hotel, and I may even fly out a week early and just stand in front of the conference room and go, please let me in. Please let me in. Please let me in.
So we're talking about all this with a sort of an eye of positivity on pain, right? But you know, the core of it is, you know, bringing it back around to your job is we're all focused on how do we keep doing what we can to keep the engagement with community. Yeah. Like it's part of why we keep doing this podcast. We're going to keep doing it even once we're back in, you know, live and in person and doing all of the things. But the explosion of excitement that will happen when we're really able to and full on, no more backsliding, no more, you know, variant this, variant that, like, is going to happen. The planning that is happening out there, waiting and hoping. You know, John and I are going to Germany. We're going to Germany, John. That's happening. I think my Netherlands side trip may have to be off because of that one. But yeah, that's really going to happen.
Wow.
I believe it.
So jealous. Yeah. That's how we were with Belgium. We were like, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And then all of a sudden, it didn't happen. So it's all right. It's coming. It's coming. Yeah. It's coming. It's coming.
It's going to be going on. But, you know, the realities of the year being what they are, I'm looking forward to next year. Keeping positive, keeping looking forward, and, you know, trying to figure out the new ways to engage in the right way. I think that, you know, for me, a lot of it's tailed off. Like, I used to watch Twitter a lot more and engage that way. Even that has dropped off just because it's such burnout.
Yeah.
A redoubling, looking in towards Ignite and looking forward to what's new and next. I think coming out of this summer of disappointment is going to be good stuff. So.
Yeah.
Are you drowning in spreadsheets? Are you gasping for a better reporting solution? Let Marquee Insights throw you a lifeline. They can help you chart a course to success with Power BI, then get underway quickly with one of their quick start solutions while learning the ropes from their experienced staff. If you're ready for reporting bliss, go to marqueeinsights.com and click the Get Started button and learn how they can help you make better, faster decisions with smarter data.
So, speaking of excitement, Patrick.
Yeah.
Power BI.
Good segue.
Don't you like that? Every once in a while, I get a good one.
Good segue.
What's got you excited these days? Tell us, what is insane amazing these days to you?
For me right now, you know, we haven't had a whole bunch of stuff, right? We've been releasing things in Power BI Desktop. It's, you know, we have updates coming. But for me, the most exciting thing, and a lot of people are going to go, oh, geez, it's automatic ads. It's automatic ads. It is for me. For me, it is. And I'm going to tell you why, because I know you guys are going to ask me, why is it automatic ads? So,
Patrick, why is it automatic ads?
I've got to know.
There's two things. It's not just Microsoft technologies that automatic ads are going to work on. They're going to work on things like Snowflake and BigQuery, you know? So to me, that's impressive that Microsoft is saying, you know what? We have great relational database, but, you know, if you're using something else, we'll make it work on that one. That really excites me. That, you know, that shows me the growth of Microsoft, the growth mindset that Microsoft is taking on right now. But the next thing is, how hard, and let's be honest, Jason and John, let's be honest, how hard is it to implement manual ads today? Can just
It's you're talking about the ags feature, right?
Yeah,
the built-in ags feature. It's hard.
Yeah, right.
It is. It takes a lot of doing. It takes a lot of expertise.
Yes, John. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Not anyone can. Not just any person can go and say, "Hey, I'm about to build ags."
So for me, it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, okay, and this is how we had a team meeting yesterday, and I was explaining the automatic ags feature to the team. And I was comparing it because it's a little, they understand this a little bit better, to materialized views.
Yep.
So materialized views in SQL are something that you could always build yourself. Yep. You can certainly do that and maintain it and handle all of that stuff. But now then Synapse comes along. And when you're hitting Synapse with Power BI, it's building those materialized views for you automatically and behind the scenes, which, well, I don't know if it is or it is preview or whatever, but it can do that. That's one of the big features. And I think it's interesting because it's kind of the same thing. It's not exactly, it's happening not at the data source level, not at the SQL side in that case. And you are, you know, you're using the SQL, the Synapse data source for that. But it's happening within the data set itself.
Yes.
Is that a fair comparison? I'm curious.
It's absolutely a fair comparison. The way it works, imagine I build this data set. It starts slowing down. I turn on automatic ags. Now, you have to...
Direct query.
Yeah, so the fact table, the main table where the measures are coming from needs to be direct query. The other dimensions, the other tables around, they can be in dual mode. They should be in dual mode, right? And so setting up a test environment for this is not a trivial thing to get the automatic ags because you need a real world workload. And so what happens under the scene is we capture all those queries that are being sent to the model, and then we use that to intelligently go, okay, let's look at the shape of these queries. And when I talk about the shape, I'm talking about the measures that are being hit, the dimensions that it's grouping by. And we use that metadata to say, okay, I should create an aggregation based on this. So when I create the ag, it actually does an import. It's an imported table that lands in your model, and you don't mess with those, right? We intelligently handle all that behind the scenes.
Do you even see it? I don't need to see it. It's all in the service.
It's all in the service. And so, but imagine this. Imagine, think about this. Before, it took John level, Jason level, Adam, Patrick, Christian Wade level expertise to get aggregations in your model. Now, all you had to do was toggle a switch. All you had to do was toggle a switch and watch that lift chart. Christian says it's a beautiful lift chart.
That's cool.
Right? You watch that lift chart to find out where you reach the optimum levels. Now, I say all this and I'm super excited. And you guys see me flaring my arms and I'm super excited about this. And I even said this, I presented this in a, at the Data Platform Summit earlier this week. And I gave it the insane amazing tag. I was like, this is absolutely insane amazing. But I caveated it with this. There is a little trade-off because the more aggregations that you want this to hit, the more queries that you want to hit aggregations, the more aggregations it's going to create. It could slow your refresh down. The bigger the model and the slower the refresh, because it's got to refresh all those tables. So there is some trade-offs. So you got to test, you got to balance. Go ahead, John. Sorry.
I'm wondering if you do you have control over those refreshers, or does that all happen automatically?
That all happens automatically. It all happens automatically. And so I said this. You need to, before you use automatic ags, there's two docs. There's one doc that's kind of like, hey, this is all the stuff you need to understand about it. You should read that thoroughly. Read that document thoroughly, then go configure automatic ags. Do not configure automatic ags and then go read that documentation. Okay. You should. I used to give Microsoft documentation such a hard time. These new docs that Microsoft is writing, I don't write docs at Microsoft, but the team that's writing the docs, Maggie, Spark, all those people, this document right here is one of the best docs that I've seen for Microsoft technology. So I would definitely go read it. Go give it a read and then decide if it fits your environment.
That's very, very cool. I realized how dumb my question was actually just earlier. You know, are you controlling? Because it's automatically updating the cache behind the scenes whenever there's new data, right?
That's
a really cool part.
That's a really cool part. And at one point, I was trying to look at one part, when you do your initial refresh, that's when it does all, it runs the ML models to check and do everything that it needs to do. The subsequent ones for that day, it doesn't do it, okay?
Right.
So if there's some new things that hit, it's capturing in the log, it's capturing all those. So when that initial refresh runs during for the next day, it looks at it, it analyzes, determines if there needs to be more ags, and then it puts them out.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's doing the smart stuff once a day, and then it's just doing the maintenance stuff throughout the day.
I'm trying to look. So if you look on the doc that I was talking about, it even shows it in the refresh history. I was trying to find what it says. When you look at the refresh, the training and stuff happens, and it actually tells you, hey, aggregations created with 100% coverage of queries. So it's actually a message in the refresh history now that gives you all that information.
Anyway, that's very, very
good. Yeah,
we're going to get that link from you and throw that into the show notes here.
Here it goes right here. I'm going to put it in the chat. Got it.
Now we have no excuse not to make sure it's in the show notes, Sean.
Yeah, definitely read that. Definitely read that one. And at the end of that one, it says, okay, now go configure automatic ags. So, but before you configure automatic ags, definitely read this document. Definitely read this document.
Very cool.
Who says IT? Who says IT guys don't read documentation? Right?
No. we normally read it after we've bumped into
That's
a problem.
Right. However,
no doubt on that one. It definitely is. It's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, I should have read that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an API for that. I guess I should have looked at that. Oh well.
Oh man. That's very, very cool. Yeah, it's automatic ags is a big one. There's stuff coming out all the bloody time. I mean,
there's another feature called hybrid tables that I presented at the Data Platform Summit. Oh man. Now, if you want to get some excitement out of me, the automatic ags are cool, but this hybrid table stuff, it's like having a import one table that's got a billion rows, right?
Yes.
I got a billion rows in this table, and 900 million is import and 100 million is direct query. Is that insanity? Insane? Are you kidding me, man?
It gives you real time. Right,
because
you're always picking up the new stuff as it's landed in the data source, but you're getting all the benefits of the cached data model. I think that's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's really bringing real time to a cached data set when you think about it.
It really is, because I can say, okay, I got, you know, 10 years worth of history and the current year worth of real time data. And so as that real time data is happening, you know, getting input, you know, you're interacting with it and then my data is changing in real time. That's insane. That's insane.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's hitting, but it's hitting.
I don't either. We got to ask Christian Wade.
That's true.
Mr. Clicky Clicky Draggy Droppy. We got to ask him about that.
Whenever I see him doing a blog post or a presentation anymore, it's like, I need to see that.
So John pointed this out to me just the other day. He did a blog post not too long ago. Uh-huh. And in the tags, it actually has now Clicky Clicky Draggy Droppy.
Draggy Droppy is a hashtag.
As a tag on blog.powerbi.com.
I'm going to start adding hashtag insane amazing on all of them.
You should.
I'm going to start doing that.
As soon as you start writing blogs, man, you really should do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. As soon as I start.
Just been taking a look. I know I was looking on Twitter last night after Yom Kippur ended, and I was taking a look at it, and it's roughly the time of the month where we should start seeing a Power BI desktop and a service post and all of that. And on Twitter last night, Yaron hosted that if you're looking for it, it is coming, you know, by the either, you know, Friday, you know, sometime early weekend, I think was what he had said. I know that's around the corner. By the time this drop happens, when we actually post this, we will have the new desktop as well as the, the thing.
Service updates,
So let me see if...
I'm looking at now. 2 hours later, he said, I should not have tweeted this. Looks like next Monday, unfortunately. We won't drop this till Tuesday or Wednesday. Anything, Patrick, that you could say that you're excited about without going into detail about the next drop?
Let me see. I'm going to open it. I think I have it running on my machine. Let me take a peek. I haven't even looked at the blog. I haven't even looked at anything. We've been doing some preparation in this new role. So I didn't even know what's in this new desktop. Let me see if there's...
It's good to know that you're in the same boat as us.
It's any more though. I mean, you're seeing as many things added into the service every month as you used to be able to go by what's new in desktop to know what was coming. Now it's like, that's only part of the picture.
I haven't had a chance to look at it. I'm just trying to see if it's on my machine. It is. I'm running the September. All right. So I don't know what the features are, though. September 2021. Let's see if there's anything in the preview features. Let's take a peek.
I'm not sure that anything new lit up there.
I don't see any visuals. I don't see any preview features. I don't know, man. I'd have to go read it. I haven't even looked at it. Adam sent me a link to the blog, and it's somewhere in my email, but I don't know. I'm sure there'll be something cool.
Yeah, there's definitely some really cool stuff. I looked at the preview of the blog that they send out to the MVPs that was really early. There's some stuff I'm super excited about that's going to make a huge impact for my business, but I'm going to be tricky and hold on to that until next week when we actually get a chance to do our normal drop review. But I will say I'm very excited by what I've seen thus far, and my team is going to be even more excited when they see it. They don't know it's coming, but man, it's if any of them actually listen to this, they'll be like, why didn't you tell us? So, you know, because NDA. But
there's some different stuff. Okay, all right, we'll leave it alone for now. Interesting. All right. We'll leave it right there. I didn't even know that was happening.
So teasy, exciting stuff coming in this month's drop.
Yeah.
And then, I'm assuming you can confirm by not saying anything that, you know, as per usual, there's going to be cool big stuff happening in the October, November timeframe, like every year. I'm looking forward to hearing what those things are going to be. There was definitely stuff that was, we're starting to see things that were announced at Business Application Summit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That are starting to hit. And some of those things that were promised by the end of the
tables.
I'm very, very excited to see come to fruition. I'm hopeful. But with that, sir, we've taken up a lot of your time this morning and love getting to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming on. And, I imagine, I'm going to tease it now, that we'll probably end up doing one of our usual happy hour live shows at the Ignite time frame.
I think that must happen.
Yes. So one of the new things that's going in the office is a refrigerator, because I never had one. And so I'm putting the refrigerator right here so it can stay loaded with adult beverages.
There you go. That sounds like a grand idea. And hopefully by then you'll be able to do it. And your office will be complete. I look forward to that, my friend. So good to see you. So good to talk with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me. It's an honor.
The honor's ours, man. Thanks,
all right. Well, John, as always, my friend, great talking to you.
You know it, sir.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bifocal Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or via your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter at Bifocal Show. The show notes for this and all of the Bifocal podcasts can be found on the bifocal.show blog. The music for the Bifocal Podcast is Indie Rock by Scott Holmes and is shared under Creative Commons.